Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. It's time for another Aftershock Monday episode. On this episode, I'm going to be talking about a past series of Aftershock. It's Jackpot from writer Ray Fox. We've got Marco Faia as the artist. We've got Stephanie Renee on colors and Jimmy Betancourt on letters. There's also, I believe, just about every issue has a cover by the legendary Brian Stelfreeze. So, really interesting concept. It's basically the world's greatest con artist on the eve of the greatest scam in human history. They're literally trying to rip off the gods themselves, right? So, the story wasn't what I expected. I love a heist story, whether that be movie, TV show, what have you. And so when I heard about this, heard it was going to be by Ray Fox, I was very, very excited. Aftershock, you know it's going to be quality. Unfortunately, the series did suffer from a few delays. So the first issue came out in April of 2016. Next month, May, issue 2. So right on track. Then we've missed a month. There's no issue in June of 2016, but it's not too bad because it comes right back in July. So just, you know, skip month, maybe the artist was behind. But then, unfortunately, we didn't get another issue. And I had read issue 1 and 2. Like, I read them as soon as I got them. Was totally hooked. And then I think I read issue 3 when it came out. But by that time, because it missed a month, I felt it had lost momentum. It was kind of had fallen off my radar. And then we didn't get issue 4 until November. So nothing in August, September, or October. It's 3 months. And I bought issue 4, but I didn't read it. And then we didn't get issue 5 until April of the following year. So a year after the first issue had come out. So nothing in October, December, January, February, March, 5 months. And then we got the final issue in June. So we did miss one more month there in 2017 and got the final issue in June of 2017. So, yeah, I feel like, unfortunately, the series just lost momentum because of the lateness. And I feel like a lot of people were talking about it when it was, you know, first coming out. And then I just didn't hear much. You know, it started being late and then I just didn't hear much. And I know Ray had the idea for the complete story that ended up being the whole 6 issues. So it wasn't a matter of him getting away from the story and so it getting kind of convoluted or the story itself losing momentum, you know, rather than just the title. But it was weird because I feel like the first 3 issues, the ones that were, you know, relatively on time, were really good. But then right around issue 4, it kind of switches. The story is still interesting, but it gets kind of metaphysical in a way. And I don't know. It was just kind of weird. And then I felt like 5 and 6 especially, I felt like there was something missing there. Like, and it might have been on my part, right? Like I was reading it and I was just missing something that I was supposed to be understanding. I would definitely buy a director's cut of this series. If it came out that way, I could kind of have a better understanding of what Ray was getting at, because it's an incredible story and it's a lot of fun, and the art by Marco Faia is absolutely outstanding. But again, I just feel like I'm missing something, and I feel like if the series would have continued, maybe some of those questions I had would have been answered, because it does end in such a way that the series could definitely continue. And I think on the last page of issue 6, it even says something like, you know, the end ? Or something like that. Let me take a quick peek at the end of 6. Because I did reread the whole thing pretty much in one sitting in preparation of talking about it. Yeah, the end ? At the end of issue 6. So like I said, I did read the whole thing in preparation to talk about it. And so, you know, again, in that case, I'm sitting down and reading it all together. Or, you know, if you were to buy it in a trade, you're sitting down, you're reading the whole story. It's the story itself definitely shouldn't lose momentum because of lateness, right? Because you've got the whole thing. You've got all 6 issues. And I felt like that. It just, like I said, it started out, and again, part of this was my expectations. It started out thinking it was going to be one thing and ended up being quite a bit different than that. Still an intriguing idea, but it just, like I said, it got a little abstract. It got a little metaphysical. And I don't know if that necessarily works as a heist story, right? I mean, part of what makes heist stories so cool is kind of the physicality of it in a way, right? Like how do the con men or the criminals overcome things like, you know, laser beams and alarm systems and cracking safes and things like that, right? How do they physically extricate themselves from the situation? You know, it's the physicality of it that's a lot of the fun, where they're, you know, tricking people, misdirection, that kind of thing. When you start getting into what Ray Fox does here, a lot of that gets kind of thrown out the window, so to speak. And so that's what I mean by when I say it didn't turn out to be necessarily what I thought, which, again, isn't a bad thing, because the ideas that Fox comes up with are pretty intriguing. But at the same time, you almost start to feel like, okay, if it is the power of the gods and one of these criminals is able to get it, then all bets are off, right? At that point, it doesn't really matter. They can just snap their fingers and do whatever they want. And that's always a challenge as a storyteller. How do you keep the reader interested when somebody's all powerful, right? That's kind of boring. They can do anything they want. They can snap their fingers, change reality, go back to the beginning, move through time, space, whatever, right? There's no challenge. There's no drama. So that might be part of what this story suffers from as well. So let me just go quickly issue by issue. I'm not going to do a real big deep dive into each issue, but I do want to just give you a quick overview. Issue one is called The Players, and it basically introduces us to this crew of con men. And I love the way they do it, right? It's very cinematic in a way. It's very, like, you can see this being a movie, right? Like, you're going through the panels, and then all of a sudden you've got one of the con men's name and kind of their role, so to speak, right? So we get Tam Malawi, the poker face, right? And you immediately understand, okay, he's the guy, he's like the face, he's the one that's like out on the front lines, the one that's, you know, engaging the mark. And then we get Felicia Hyde, the cold reader. And again, it's, you can completely picture this on the screen of your television, where it would freeze frame and then the text would pop up, right? So we meet Felicia, we meet Forrest Rhodes, the heater, so kind of the muscle, if you will. And then we don't meet the other member of the team, or who we think is the next member of the team, until after kind of the climax of the issue. The other three are clearly in the midst of a job. Malawi is playing poker with a crime boss on his yacht. There's $4 million in play. Felicia is robbing the safe. Forrest is in a boat nearby, kind of the getaway guy, the muscle, the backup, being able to be called in if necessary. But is that it? Is that all there is to the crew? Turns out no, because when things go sideways, we meet Dominique Vasco, the genius, the planner, if you will, right? And she's managed to get the drop on the rest of the crime boss's bodyguards. I couldn't think of the word bodyguard for a second there. Yeah, the rest of his guards. She's managed to pick their pockets, take their guns, leave them defenseless. And just when we think it's over, we find out that the dealer who was dealing the game, Joseph Frederick, the dirty dealer, was on their team all along, right? And the crime boss's gun that he had hidden under the table, unbeknownst to him, was unloaded by Joseph. So the first issue is really just an introduction to these characters, this crew of five. And then right at the end, we get a little hint that the stakes might be higher than we realize, right? It's a good scene by Marco Faia, because it's shadowy and it's dark and we don't see anyone's faces, and we see them from behind, or we see them from the shoulders down, and it's clear that, again, there's something more than meets the eye to this story. So let's move on to issue 2, same creative team. This issue's entitled Distortions, and we see that all the players are in place, if you know the score. And again, they're in the midst of a job, this time in a hotel. They're going to rip off, looks like some kind of a Russian politician. And the job doesn't quite go the way they expect. It appears as though that shadowy cabal sent somebody in. And he's messing things up for them. And so when the job goes sideways, Dominique receives a message. A message from that cabal. And that message is math. And that math allows Dominique to distort reality. And this is where we get the very beginnings of it starting to be something much different than we expect, right? Much different than this is just a tale of a bunch of con men in the world. It gets a lot more fantastical. And so although Dominique uses the powers to send back the agent of that cabal back to where he came from, the jig is still up, right? The alarm's been sounded. The hotel knows, you know, security knows what's going on. And our team is still stuck inside. So how they're going to get out, what happens next, how much does Dominique understand about this calculus that she was given that basically allows her to distort reality? Those are all questions that are very much up in the air. So again, at this point, I'm still like super invested in the story, wondering what was going to happen next. It was a very unexpected turn. So as we look at issue 3, same creative team, superposition is what it's called. And it starts off with Fox talking about luck, right? You feel lucky because the odds against you being alive are actually enormous. And he talks about just the unlikelihood of the existence of life, right? Everything has to be just right. You know, gravity, distance from the sun, you know, oxygen levels. And like, there's just all these things, right? It's when you think about it, it's really is the miracle of life. The fact that we even exist at all. So when you think about that, are things balanced out by chance? Is it on purpose? Is there a greater force? Is there a system? And if there is a system, maybe the system is simpler than it looks, right? And if you know how to read the system, just like any good con man can do, you figure out how it works, maybe you can cheat it. Maybe if you had a way to mess with the underlying system of the universe, you'd be ahead of the game. But then the question becomes, just because you have figured it out and you have the ability to game the universe, so to speak, should you? And what kind of person would or wouldn't rewrite reality? And you know, what kind of person could wield that power fairly? And should anyone have that power? There's all those questions that Fox is opening up here. So in issue 3, we see a little bit of the backstory of Dominique and Malawi. We see Felicia. She's the one that's outside. She was the backup on this mission. She's wondering if she should leave everyone behind. We get a look back at Joseph's past and his first meeting with Dominique. We learn more about the cabal and how they feel about the fact that Dominique has such a natural affinity for what they call the calculus, that should they really be inviting her to join them, or is she too dangerous? We also get a look back at Forrest and his previous jobs with Dominique. And then, again, and Fox has talked about this in interviews, we see some things that don't necessarily make sense. Like we see Forrest and the side of his vest is stained with blood. We see Malawi's with his trench coat. We see Malawi's trench coat, and he's got a bullet hole in the back of it. He's not shot. Neither is Forrest, but yet there's blood on it. So you just start wondering, like, so what's going on here? And as they continue to try to escape from the police SWAT team that's now there, we see Dominique, just her body just disappear. She's clearly been transported somewhere else. So at that same time, Felicia's finally able to contact the team again. And with their pre-planning, she finds out where they are, and they're able to actually break through a wall and escape. But escape to where? Escape to what? I mean, how far can you really get, right? So as they leave the hotel, the whole hotel crashes down to the ground. So that's just not something that happens every day. So again, you have to wonder what's going on here, right? Clearly, it's more than meets the eye. Kind of a theme in this series, really. And then we see, as Dominique is kind of welcomed to the cabal, they tell her, "You're among friends. We're gods on earth, my dear, no less. And you are one of us. And we're glad we found you. It's time to make you an offer." And that ends issue 3. Issue 4, called Any Good Hustle, opens up with Forrest talking about the different steps of a hustle, right? Spotting your mark, making sure he's interested, and you've got the hook. And once you've got him hooked, you reel it in. So that kind of formula is kind of what we see from this cabal that's trying to recruit Dominique. But you would think, as impressive and as smart as these people are supposed to be, the other members, that they would know that they can't just pull those same kind of steps. You know, the saying, you can't con a con man, right? So we are introduced. The first member of the quintet, Bohang, who's over 1,000 years old. Time hides no mysteries from him. He's a scholar, so he says. Inkiri, she has found the key to bypassing the constraints of space. Joris, who seems to be the leader, who has made his own discoveries, the secrets of universal chaos made plain to me upon the roaring seas, he says. And then we've got Beatrice, who codified the calculus into spoken language and subsequently discovered the true origins of light and matter. And then finally, Axel works the lattice of parallel universes with calculus as his stepping stone. So he's the one that Dominique has actually already met. It was him that went and disrupted their job in the hotel by pulling different versions of himself from other realities. And Dominique seems a bit reluctant to believe. She says, "You know, I know I said I'd keep an open mind, but parallel universes, space and time, it's a bit hard to swallow." And Joris says, "Yes, it is, but why tell you when we can show you?" And show her they do, as Inkiri speaks some of the formula of the calculus and basically shows her. So meanwhile, we see Felicia show up to rescue the rest of the team, and improbable things keep happening it's clear that Dominique is somehow pulling the strings from behind the scenes, right? To hopefully allow her friends to escape, from the building collapsing to them finding a wall to break through to get out, all that kind of stuff. So meanwhile, out in the galaxy, where the cabal is still trying to show Dominique, giving her the hook, right? And she's not buying it. She's like, "What's the catch? What's the fine print?" And they're like, "Okay, you're so good at calculus. Like, no one we've ever shown it to has been able to manipulate it and become and use it and become so powerful so quickly. So we want to learn from you." But it quickly becomes clear that although they say they don't want her to pay anything, that it's not as simple as we're just wanting you to join us for the, you know, out of the goodness of our hearts. No. And she knows that. Dominique knows that. She's like, you guys want me because I can make you more powerful. And Joris especially is like, you're blessed and we want to share with you. We've shown the calculus to the greatest minds. And at the barest glimpse, you were doing amazing things. You expanded upon it. You applied it. You were warping physics, diverting energies. Tell us how you did it. We'll share what we know with you, right? And Dominique says, ah, sure. Sign me up. I'll tell you everything. Everything I come up with, you take it for yourselves. And I spend the next 200 or 300 years kissing your feet, right? Begging for scraps. And you feed me little bits of information, just enough to keep me on the line. Again, you can't con a con man. They're like, no, that's not what would happen at all. We promise. He's like, you promise, huh? But I got a taste. That was the hook back then. And now, for the first time in my life, I felt like I understood something when I saw that formula, something really true. And what do you do with it? They say, well, we travel. We explore. We live beyond the limits of what's possible. Meanwhile, we see the team reading a note that Dominique left behind in the getaway car. So again, clearly she's been pulling the strings, right? And Dominique calls the rest of the cabal on it. Said, look, I get it. You're in here. You're selling me on this. You're isolating me. And the very few friends I have in the world, you're out there trying to eliminate them, right? So that I'll have nothing left. I'll have no reason not to join you. And we see that's exactly what's happening, as there are, once again, many versions of Axel out after the rest of the team. Joris tries to convince Dominique once more. No, that's not it. You have it wrong. And finally, Inkeri's had enough. It's like, she knows. Somehow she knows. Perhaps the anomaly afforded her a glimpse through time, but there's no point in lying. She says, yeah, it's true. You have nobody now. You'll serve us. And when you're ready, we'll release you and you'll ascend to our rank. That's the way I had to do it. And the others did as well. So will you. And Dominique's like, well, at least somebody was willing to come clean. I guess I don't have much choice. Powerful as you are, as you all are, well, you're just going to torture me if I say no, right? And Joris is like, how did you know this? She's like, you're so smart. Space and time are your playground. You can't figure it out. So it's to me, it's clear. It's like, well, probably a future self of Dominique came back and told her, hey, these guys, you can't trust these guys. And sure enough, she starts taking them out. Like, I'm not going to be your slave for 1,000 years. Inkeri doesn't trust me. She never wants to let me go. None of you will ever teach me anything. But I just wait for you to make a mistake. You let me learn too much. And meanwhile, they're the gods, these self-described gods, are literally begging. Bohung is begging for your life. Dominique says, here's another possibility. After you make your mistake and I use the calculus to escape, and you don't even know it, 1,000 years from now, you're still interrogating me, but I've already gotten away. And I come back here after I taught myself everything I've learned by watching you, and I kill you all and I replace you. I'm the god. I'm the one who has no limits. And she continues to take him out while back on Earth, her team is still in trouble. They're still being pinned down by all the different versions of Axel. And that's where issue 4 ends. So issue 5 picks up right where that leaves off. Once again, same creative team. And we get just a tiny bit of background, a tiny glimpse into the different self-made gods. We see Bohung, we see Inkeri, we see Joris on a ship. We see Beatrice in what looks to be ancient Rome in a bathhouse. We see Axel in much more modern times. And when we see Dominique, we see her covered in blood, holding the earth in the palm of her hand. So they do admit that they made a mistake. They blind Dominique, attempt to blind her, attempt to muzzle her. But it doesn't matter. She's still able to use the power. Meanwhile, back on Earth, Mawari is in the middle of making a deal with Axel. while Dominique travels through time, executing the would-be gods. So Mawari is able to convince Axel, hey, you know, we're con men. We're out for ourselves. We need to do what's best for ourselves. And if that means turning on Dominique, then so be it. And then we see Dominique at the end of time. As she said, captured, imprisoned for 1,000 years within Kiri there, trying to probe her mind, trying to learn just why Dominique has such mastery over the calculus. But it's too late. It's too late. Dominique has learned and then literally disappears. Disappears into the time stream to go and kill all the gods before they have the power, before they have the knowledge. But Mawari does what he does best back in the present time and agrees, or gets Axel to agree rather, to team up. And when Dominique shows up, she takes them all out, just like her friends planned. So it's off for steak and champagne. And Mawari says, yep, the game's over, right? No more fights, no more tricks. Now you tell us everything. And the story is to be concluded. So issue 6 is where it really... So in a way, you almost feel like, okay, it's over, right? Like, she won. Kind of saw it coming. It didn't end up being as... like groundbreaking or different as we expected. It certainly flipped from being a heist tale to being one that totally makes sense, but not a completely original idea, right? Like somebody's about to be double crossed, but they have access to, you know, power and time travel. Yeah, why wouldn't you come back and leave a note for your previous self right before the moment that you're about to be betrayed? So you'd know ahead of time, you'd have that foreknowledge. So issue 6, which I will say has dice on the front cover with snake eyes, very foreboding. Save your fork, there's Pi. And we see the various members of the crew living the high life. Malawi has a resort and casino, but he also has back pain that constantly bothers him. And we see somebody ambush him from behind in his room that seems to know quite a bit about him and talks about how he's actually in love with Dominique, talks about all the different versions of reality. We see Felicia with her own private beach. We see Forrest, retired and stinking rich, with a stable full of champion racehorses. It feels like heaven, right? They're happy. They have what they want. But the voice, the man, the person that's ambushed him says, do you feel like you're in heaven? Because supposedly you guys got what you wanted. But Felicia has vivid nightmares of burning to death, and she gets no rest day or night. Forrest, every few days, soaks up all kinds of blood with his Turkish cotton towels. The blood just seems to come from the skin on his side. He bleeds until he passes out. He wakes up later feeling fine, but it takes him longer and longer each time to wake up. But there's no wound. And Malawi himself, he gets back spasms. Hurt so bad, his legs stop working. Sooner or later, you know you'll be paralyzed. It gets worse and worse. And when Malawi finally turns around, he sees it's himself. He sees himself, but with a cane, with braces on his legs. Why did they send you? The gods? Maybe they're not dead after all. And this version of Malawi explains it to him. You remember the hotel job? I was there. I got shot in the back. I was useless. So what did Nikki do? She pulled another me from a different reality. Same with Forrest. That's why he still bleeds. So what are you going to do? What is this team going to do? What is this version of Malawi going to do? The real version, the version that did belong in this world, right? What about the real version of Forrest? What about the real version of Felicia? None of them could really be happy getting their quote unquote heart's desire, right? It's not about getting the jackpot. It's about the game. But somebody's got to have a happy ending, right? So we do see those three members. We do see Malawi take out his counterpart from a different timeline, from an alternate dimension. We see Felicia and Forrest do the same. And everyone's wondering, where's Joseph? But meanwhile, someone does get a happy ending, right? Dominique. She's got it all. Nobody's going to give them puzzles to solve. Nobody's going to give her crew puzzles to solve anymore. She just has to think about the calculus, and it unfolds like a flower in the jungle. She controls time and space and chaos and light and probability. The whole universe is her playground. And her crew, she trusted them to the end. But she knows them better than they know themselves, and she knows that they're not going to be happy, not in that cushy life that she made them. So, are they coming? Are they coming after her? There's a new voice on the mountain. There's a new house dealing the cards. Think you can take me? You think you can scam a god? Come at me and bring your very best game. Let's have some fun. And as I said, it ends with the end with a question mark. So I'm left wondering, where's Joseph? Are these guys really going to be able to scam a god? Who is Dominique really? I mean, we learned a little bit about her in the story. Clearly, she's a genius. She was a math genius from a very young age. People tried to exploit her. That kind of gave her hard edge. She ended up burning out, turning away from that, ended up becoming a con man, con woman, if you will, turning to a life of crime. Is she broken? Does she deserve to have all this power? Does anyone deserve to have all this power? There's a lot more to be explored here. And again, I just keep wondering, where's Joseph? So I went back and I looked. I was like, wait, okay, so Joseph's here and he's here. And then all of a sudden he disappears. Then he's back for one panel and then he's gone. He's not in the last two issues. I just wonder, where did he go? Where did he go? That's got to be key to more of the story that Fox has to tell, right? But we didn't get any more. The last issue, as I said, was June 2017. I don't know if it's because it didn't sell well. Fox is busy doing other things. Just not sure. Definitely will ask him next time I see him, or Mike Martz, or Joe Pruitt. But it is an enjoyable series. But it's one of those series that really raises more questions than answers. So again, you're left wondering. Now, there are some people that for them, a series like that is okay. They're happy to read it. They're happy to think about it and speculate and wonder. And for some people, they don't like that. They want to have all the answers given to them. They want to know what was the writer's intent. So forewarned is forearmed, so to speak. So if you're one of those latter people who is not going to be happy if there are questions left unanswered, may not want to read this. But again, I think it's worth reading. I think it's a lot of fun. I think that the art by Marco Faya, it reminds me of Clayton Henry art. If you guys are familiar with his art style at all, it's very clean. The line work tends to be a little thicker, and it's a little bit stylized, a little bit of an animation style. But again, super, super clean. Not a whole lot of detail, but detail when necessary. Again, I think an animated style is the best way I can put it. The panels, as far as page layouts, are pretty standard. There's actually quite a few wide screenshots where we don't even get gutters. So I really felt like the art suited this book very well. He handles the action scenes very well. The color work by Stephanie Renee is done very well also. It's very much a primary palette. Feels like a classic comic book coloring. So again, it started off as one type of story and really morphed into something else. It's a good story. I'm glad I read it. The covers by Brian Stelfreeze also are absolutely amazing. It gives a great sense of style and almost that you know, 1950s Las Vegas feel. So those are awesome as well. Just all in all, a very well done, well produced quality book that starts off as one thing and morphs into something else. You don't get all the questions. You don't get all the answers, rather. There are plenty of questions, and it's open for so much more in this world and with these characters. So hopefully we'll see more one day. So once again, I want to thank everyone for joining us. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help us with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available there, as well as at LRM Online. While you're at the site, check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. Next show I'll be at is the Long Beach Comic Con in Long Beach, California on the 8th and 9th of September. So hope to see you there. Once again, I want to thank everyone for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time.